Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone. I am very excited to be speaking with Amber Ray again for this episode. This is a special bonus episode, and we're talking about her new book, The Answers Are Within You, 108 Keys to Unlock Your Mind, Body, and Soul. It is a beautiful collection, and this is a pretty great and vulnerable conversation. I love Amber's energy, her kindness, and her openness, and I hope that you enjoy this chat. You can find links to her new book in the episode notes, and you can keep up with her on social media there too. Enjoy the show. Take care. Hi, I'm Alex L., and I write books for a living. The Hey Girl podcast was created with sisterhood and storytelling in mind. Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Join us as we journey through sharing together. Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Hi Amber. How you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm excited to have you back on the show to talk about this new book baby of yours.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
Before we jump in to this new beautiful project, please let the Hey Girl listeners know who you are and what you do.
Great. So I'm Amber Ray. I'm a author, an artist, a speaker. And it's interesting. I'm actually right now in a place of really reevaluating what I do. For a long time, I feel like the way I would describe it if I was getting on stage to like give a talk would be like, I take complex psychological concepts and I make them digestible and accessible through illustrations and writing. But it's interesting. I've been in this place where I realized that 15 years ago, I started a blog and it was really me sharing the truth about my life. Mm. And I didn't expect that anyone would have any interest in reading that. But I sort of accidentally built an audience because what happened is I was able to give voice to things that people were going through and feeling and experiencing, but perhaps didn't have the language for. Mm. And somewhere along the way, when I built this community, which I'm so deeply grateful for, I stopped asking, what do I have to say? And I started asking, what do they want from me? Mm. The last couple of years, I realized that like, while things I create, I love and I'm proud of, and they feel like they come through me, I realized that I sort of lost my like truth teller, memoirist origin, because I feel like more of who I am. And I began to make things that I thought other people wanted. That's the real talk answer.
Yes. Well, I'm really glad that you brought that up, actually, because I think a lot of us in our respective careers as artists, authors, speakers, teachers, etc., we've all like leaned into the beauty that the internet can provide as far as like expanding our community and connecting with folks. Mm-hmm. But then we also lose pieces of ourselves and our craft and our ability to connect because we're making things for the internet, or at least that's been my experience. I feel myself retreating from that and trying to find new ways to tap into my craft just for me. So I'd love for you to speak about that, like, especially because the new book is titled The Answers Are Within You. And I feel like we're about to have a session here about, you know, inner validation and all of that. So can you speak to your creative energy changing and how you're building boundaries around social media and being creative?
Yeah, you know, it's very much in progress. I'm not like, here's what I figured out. But it's funny because the title of the book is The Answers Are Within You. And writing it did feel like taking a step back. And I didn't realize it at the time, but when I finished the body of work, I realized I was writing myself a permission slip. Mm. You know, I 9 months ago or so completed a marriage and relationship of 10 years. I am completing a business partnership. Like, it's been a season of endings and new beginnings for me. Mm. because I realized that I got caught up in, oh, this is exciting. People are enjoying this. This post is going viral. Oh my gosh, this company is inviting me to make a mural and speak at their company. And it was just, I got so, you know, which was beautiful and exciting, but also I feel like I sort of took a step back from what really was most meaningful to me, because I got caught up in like, oh, this is fun and shiny. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, boundaries for me, it's just, I'm right now, it's interesting though, because I think by my relationship to Instagram, I took a year ago, I took 3 months off to actually write The Answers Are Within You. Mm-hmm. And that was so deeply liberating. And I was like, I'm never going on Instagram again. Die, Instagram. Burn. Throw my phone in a creek, you know? But then like, at the same time, when there was something I wanted to share that came from that place of truth and authenticity and like, this is why I'm here, this is what I'm here to express, when I had those moments, I was so excited to use the platform as that vehicle. Mm-hmm. So I'm learning, you know, it's interesting. I was actually talking with a friend the other day who was talking about how she's like, I think I have a codependent relationship with my community. Like they need me. And so I feel like I have to show up. And it's something I hadn't really considered before, but I thought that was really interesting, where it's like, oh, if I don't post 3 times a week, I'm going to let my community down, or the algorithm is going to stop working in my favor, which like part of that is true with, I don't even know what Instagram's doing, but yeah, it's created this, like the come from is no longer, this is coming from a place, or I've noticed within myself, not always. The come from, I feel like, used to be, this is something I have to say. This is like my truth. This is coming from a place of love and joy and self-expression. And now it sort of can feel like, oh, if I don't share, then I'm afraid that I'm going to lose people. And it's coming from a place of lack and fear.
Yeah.
And so that's just like not the dynamic that I like to operate from. It's not the dynamic that feels good. It's not the dynamic that brings me joy or I think is, you know, useful for others. Mm. So, you know, that's a long-winded way to say, I don't know what my boundaries are yet. I'm like still trying to figure it out. I love the newsletter. I think the newsletter is a place that feels a bit more sacred. But yeah, I don't know. I'm in question around this right now.
You're not the only one. I am too. Morgan Harper Nichols is, you know, this another amazing artist. What is their name? I forget their name, but everyone is just like, oh my gosh, how do we balance finding our answers within us, nurturing our creativity, and also pouring into this community online? So I feel you all the way. So before I open up to my favorite page of the book, ooh, I do want to talk about your language around endings. You said completed. I completed a marriage. I'm completing a partnership with, you know, a business partner. I love that. And I'd like for you to speak to, first of all, words meaning things and how we change our language to kind of reflect the duality and the tenderness of life.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I didn't even notice I said that. Thank you for reflecting that. But yeah, it's, you know, I think people say, oh, like we leave marriages, we end, you know, I think particularly marriage and relationship and divorce as a whole, the idea of divorce, there's so much shame around it. There's so much stigma. People have, like, it brings up a lot for a lot of people. And, you know, my former partner and I essentially came to the realization that like, we still like, it, there was still love and care there. You know, there was a lot of gratitude for the 10 years of adventures and memories and growth and lessons we were able to experience together. We just, you know, I guess came to a realization that it was complete. And I do think things in life have certain timelines. And, you know, I might explore a hobby for, you know, a couple of years. And I'm also, I don't know if you're into human design, but I'm a manifesting generator with a, so like, I'm also not meant to do things forever, which I don't think that's, who knows about relationships. I think But, you know, ultimately, him and I, we had a really beautiful friendship. And I think we stayed longer than maybe we could have because we were such good friends. But the idea of, we're like, okay, let's transition. How we completed was, okay, we're going to transition from a marriage into friendship. And so we thought about it as this transition process. We thought about it as not something that we wanted to, and it's funny because I did feel shame still. Yeah. But like, I think our intention was like, we're not going to shame ourselves. We're not going to call this a failure. Like, we gave this our best go and it's just come to a point of completion. So let's be honest about where we're at rather than trying to force or push this for the sake of societal norms.
And I think that brings us to a great segue into my favorite section of the book, which is called Reflect on This Season's Story, on page 131. And the sticky note sentiment to the left says, what is this season of life teaching you? And everything you just shared reflects this really beautiful season that you and your former partner had. And I'm curious to know what that transition felt like for you creatively, like stepping out from one role into another. And when you were writing this book and this section in particular, was there something swirling around in your atmosphere that was just like, huh, here's the inspiration for this. And where am I this season?
Yeah, I think the book was a permission slip in a lot of ways. It's okay to go. It's okay that this is complete. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to make everyone else happy. Like, really listen. Because I knew it had been complete for a little while. But I think I stayed. And I think I stayed just as long as I was meant to. But I stayed because I didn't want to hurt people. And so I think, you know, what the season of life was teaching me is that choosing myself is not selfish. It's honest and authentic. And I think that's something I learned a lot of, perform, perfect, please, as, you know, growing up. I think both, a lot of us that experienced that. And so I think I was abandoning myself more than I realized. And so I think this season of life has been about self-betrayal and self-abandon and being really honest with myself about which is like my relationship to social media, is my relationship to my work. I realized it was actually permeating in so many places. And what's funny is I thought I was someone, I was like, I live in accordance with my truth. Like, that's something that I thought as fact. But when I looked a lot closer, I was like, whoa, I'm actually abandoning myself here, 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 here. And it's because I don't want to let people down and because I don't want to rock the boat and I don't want to cause disharmony and I don't want to see people in pain. You know, I had a long list of reasons.
Good reasons.
And it's like, yes, and I'm causing myself significant pain and discord and disharmony. And this is actually not me living in accordance with my truth. This is me being kind of inauthentic. And I was like, ooh, that's a, like, it was a harsh reality to come to. And so creatively, it was a death. And it was a death of, it really felt like everything that I thought and knew to be true began to crumble. And, you know, I think over the last, we had the transition conversation last June. So since then, it's just been, you know, a slow rebuilding and just, and taking a step back and not sharing too much of my story with my community so that I can really like live my story and be in the living of it rather than the sharing of it.
I love how you essentially look at your true self as this question almost, like, am I being my true self? Like that self-reflective, intuitive dialogue. And I'm curious to know if that played a role in the naming of this book, because that's how we find the answers within, right? Are those hard inner dialogue conversations. A lot of the time, those are harder than the tough chats we have to have with loved ones or friends or an employer. And so I'm curious to know, like, when you started thinking about self-choosing and rejecting the idea of self-abandonment.
Yeah, I think to your point, exactly. I first had to be honest with myself. That was step one. It was actually once I knew what I knew and saw what I saw and felt what I felt and put it pen to paper and named what I was really truly feeling, which I had been hesitating because I knew once I admitted to myself what that meant. And once I finally was like, this is where I really am, then I had no choice but to, you know, it was like a new door opened and I had no choice but to walk through it. Mm-hmm. And so it was almost like the hardest part was admitting the truth to myself. Mm. And then acting on that truth, actually, it was almost felt more natural than coming to terms with the fact that, not that I was living a lie, but kind of.
I like that you brought that up, though, because I think a lot of us who are in this work of healing and giving and teaching and nurturing and art making, we have to have these kind of come to Jesus moments or come to self moments, rather, where it's like, are you being who you say you are to yourself? Like, I think it's easy for us to be who we say we are to others. But are we holding our word to ourselves, right? And so that's what I love and appreciate about you sharing this, is because it's never one or the other. It's always kind of both and. And looking at the things that are, you know, maybe not aligned and need some adjusting, or things that are aligned. And it's like, okay, this feels good, but is it serving me in the way I need it to serve me? So like, there's all these micro steps, I feel like, that we have to take, and these hard conversations that we have to have with ourselves in order to tap into the truth inside of us.
100%.
I love the section on finding perspective. Do you mind if I read a bit of it?
Sure.
There are moments in our lives when we may feel centered, in flow, clear and productive. It feels as if we are flowing with the river of life. There is an easefulness, a feeling of forward motion, a sense of awe. And then there are moments when we are thrust into so much uncertainty and the unknown that we struggle to find our center. Days and weeks may feel like a roller coaster with no end in sight. We may wonder how we got here and how we'll make it through. It's only later, through the gift of perspective, that we may realize how the obstacles and challenges that we faced were leading us exactly where we needed to go in order to grow. Can you talk us through your idea of perspective and what it has taught you on your journey?
Yeah, I think perspective is just a moment to take a step back and be like I talk about emotions a lot, and I love emotions, but like, when we're in the emotion, we don't have perspective. If we're in the grief, in the sadness, in the anger, in the fear, which I think feeling our feelings is deeply important, but sometimes we can get so lost in the emotion that we become it. And then in the becoming of it, you know, we're in our anger, we bring anger to others, and we bring anger to the way we drive, and we bring anger to the way that we, like, it can infiltrate our lives. And I think seasons of life, when they're really like, ooh, you know, bringing a lot of emotions to the surface, we can be so in it that we lose sight and lose perspective of the fact that this is just a season and it will pass. And so I think perspective is just that moment of like, it's saying to myself like, ooh, okay, a lot of anger coming up right now. Or it's like, ooh, there is a well of grief I did not know that lived here that is clearly wanting my attention. It's almost just naming and acknowledging the experience and remembering that I've been here too, where it's like, when is this challenging moment going to like go away? When is it going to disappear? And I think it's, for me, it's shifting the relationship from needing it to go away to just being like, oh no, I'm actually going to turn toward it. I'm going to allow it, but I'm also going to have a little bit of a healthy distance from it. So I'm not so in it that I lose myself. And so I think perspective is just, and there was, you know, when my ex and I had the separation conversation, everything that came after, there were some weeks where I was like, this is, oof, haven't felt or experienced this in my life before. And I had to remember that, like, of course, this is a step of the journey. This is a part of the process. And like, I'm okay no matter what. And so I think perspective is remembering I'm okay no matter what.
What do you want people to get from this new collection of work?
I want them to ask themselves the questions, that are going to reveal the truest answers so that they can create the truest lives. You know, I feel like someone listening might be like, oh, Amber, you like really went through a year listening to your advice in this book. But I will say that, and you know, that everyone's version will be different of what they experience and what comes up. I think the beauty of this book is that it's not going to tell you what to do. It's going to tell you what to ask so that you can find your own answers. And while this year has been, you know, I think challenging in many ways, it's also been the most beautiful year of my life. Like, I'm so proud of myself. I'm like, oh, like integrity that I'm approaching every conversation and moment and authenticity. It's almost like I didn't know I wasn't doing that until I had the contrast. Mm-hmm. And so with contrast, it's like, whoa, this is what it feels like. You know, it's just, I feel it's like more raw. It's more alive. It's more, you know, I'm letting myself feel all of it. It's like, I'm really, you know, I've realized with some of my work, I'm like searching for the lesson. I'm like in the learning rather than trying to wrap it in a neat bow. And so allowing myself to be in that in between, to be in that mess and to find the beauty in it has been probably, you know, the greatest gift I've found in life thus far.
Thanks for listening to the show today. Please rate, subscribe, and review. Also, feel free to share with a friend. We love having our community grow. Music is by DC's own Kokai.
The Hey Girl podcast is produced by Wayne Bartram and me, Alex L.